Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a great time of the year for fruit. How many of you have taken advantage of the fruit that we've had around here? There's blueberries. Some of you maybe have gone and done the blueberry picking. What else? Let's see. There's strawberries. There's raspberries. Cherries. Who could forget cherries? I mean, Gail would be upset if I forgot cherries. And then apricots and probably a number of other different fruits. And what a privilege we have in this beautiful Willamette Valley to enjoy the fruits. Sweet, juicy, succulent. They are lovely for our taste buds, but they're also, in their proper quantities, good for us, for our body. It helps build up the body with those different nutrients. It is good. Fruit is sweet and wonderful. It's a great time of year for fruit, for the fruit of the Spirit. But with the fruit of the Spirit, we're not limited to a geographical location, and we're not limited to a certain time of the year. For as the Spirit produces fruit in us, we have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and these are sweet fruits that are nourishing to the body that is the body of Christ. What a privilege we have to partake of those. Now, sometimes there are some things that get in the way of the fruits. I'm sure if you're like me, you have had those times when you're not really feeling the fruits of the Spirit. There might be a lack of love, joy, peace, and all the others. What gets in the way of some of those fruits? Have you thought about that? Maybe you've got some ideas in your mind what gets in the way of these fruits. But at least two of those ways that, or two things that gets in the way of the fruits are these. Number one, living under the law. And number two, living in fear instead of faith. Living under the law and living in fear instead of faith. Paul speaks to the Galatians about the fruits of the Spirit. But before he does that, he talks about the freedom that we have in Christ. And he's speaking to a people, as you know by now, after the past couple weeks, who have been enticed to go back under the law. Remember the Judaizers. They're trying to say, you are going to be justified, made right in the sight of God by what you do. So in order to be a good Christian, you've got to do this, 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 and this. You've got to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses. They're trying to be put back under the law. Paul is very adamant about being free in Christ. As he says in Galatians 1, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. He says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly await for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. But if you're underneath the law, that's going to get in the way of the fruits of the Spirit. And why is this? Because as we are under the law, we become conscious of the fact that we have not met the law's perfect and holy standards. We've gone through the analogies before of being underneath a school teacher, being in prison. And when we're underneath the law and we realize that we have not met the law's standards, what would that produce in us? Fear. Dread. Realizing that we have not fulfilled the law. And let me ask you this. How can you have love, joy, peace, patience, and all the rest if you are under a yoke of fear? Worrying about your status before God. If you're basing your status before God based on what you do or do not do. So underneath the law, fruit does not produce. But we have been freed from the law. As it says in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And in Christ Jesus, because he has freed you from the law by fulfilling the law for you, we are now free in Christ, free to serve in love, free to produce fruit as the Spirit works in us. What a wonderful feeling it is to be free. Imagine for a moment, and I know this could be difficult, but imagine for a moment that you are a prisoner who has been in prison for the past 15 years, and now the time has come for you to be free. Try to imagine how you would feel knowing that you are now free after 15 years in prison. A marvelous feeling. Maybe you get a small glimpse as you remember those moments when you've had a big project at work, but you're now free from that project. You are now free to go somewhere with your family. You're now free from school. You've graduated, or you've almost graduated, and the feelings of freedom that come. And now in Christ Jesus, we are free. The Judaizers wanted the people to go back into prison and shut the door. But now in Christ Jesus, as we have been freed, we have an opportunity to be free in service. The person that gets out of prison has a choice to make. The person that gets out of prison could go back to their old life and start doing what they were doing before and then end back up in prison. Or the prisoner who is inside the prison cell could have the door wide open and be let out and then choose to walk right back into that prison. But in Christ Jesus, in gratitude for the freedom that we have the opportunity to serve. You see, people desire to have a purpose in life. I'm sure that you also desire to have a purpose in life. Sometimes when we're younger, we're trying to figure out what our purpose is in life. But you see, in Christ Jesus, we have a purpose. Not only have you been freed from sin, death, and the power of the devil, freed from the law in the sense of being underneath the law, but we have been freed for something. For the prisoner that goes out of prison and has no purpose in life, what good is it to live? But we have been freed for a purpose. And Paul speaks of that purpose as he goes on and he says in Galatians chapter 5:13, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." Paul speaks and summarizes the whole law in the word love. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And now in Christ Jesus, freed from the power of sin, death, and the devil, we are free to serve one another. We have that privilege and that opportunity. Recently, I saw a cartoon called Coffee with Jesus. Maybe some of you know about it. It's kind of obscure. But this cartoon, Coffee with Jesus, shows Jesus having coffee with different individuals. And in this particular cartoon, Jesus is talking with a woman named Lisa, speaking about that little verse that we just talked about. Lisa says this to Jesus: "Jesus, you set the bar pretty high with that 'love your neighbor as yourself' commandment." Jesus responds, "I did indeed, Lisa, but it's doable." Lisa says, "How? It's just not in our nature." And Jesus says, "Bingo, Lisa. It's in my nature." You see, the key to the freedom that we have is that we are in Christ Jesus. Christ has given himself for you, and as Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And so now in Christ Jesus, we are free to serve others in love, in the strength of Christ, and that is key as we get into the fruits of the Spirit. Now, as Paul is speaking in this passage, he speaks of a little rivalry that's going on between the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. Can you think of any rivalries that you know of in cinema or stage? I'm sure in your mind you can start to think of some of the rivalries where the two parties are completely antagonistic against one another. Let's see, we have that newer movie that came out. Some of you have seen it, Captain America Civil War. And we have two different sides fighting against one another. And taking us back a couple years, the original Star Wars, we have good versus evil. We have Luke Skywalker in opposition with Darth Vader. And there is this clash. They're opposed to one another. And I imagine if I opened it up, you could probably come up with a whole bunch of other rivalries. But we have this rivalry going on within us. And Paul describes this. He says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So we have this rivalry going on. Now, before Christ came, we were slaves to sin and unrighteousness. But now that you have been freed, there is a war going on. Have you ever had that moment in your life when you have sinned and you thought to yourself, "I didn't want to do that"? You've thought to yourself, "That was kind of dumb. That's not who I am as a child of God in Christ Jesus. That's not who I am." Have you ever had that happen? That's because you're a new creation in Christ. Now, when we sin, as Christ works in us, we realize, "Oh, that was stupid. Why did I do that? That's not me. I'm this new person in Christ, and I loathe what I just did." And that's that war that we have. Paul describes the works of the flesh on this side, on the dark side, as he says in Galatians chapter 5, 19. "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these." You could translate "and things like these" as etc. Fill in the blank with whatever else I didn't mention. "I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." These are some pretty nasty things. As I was reading this list, were there any that struck a chord with you? Were there any that caused you to twinge just a little bit as you thought, "Ooh, yeah, that's one of those things that I wrestle with"? Or maybe it was in the etc., as right now in your minds you are thinking of something that you are wrestling with that struggle with the flesh. It could be pride. It could be, the list goes on and on. But you see, Paul describes this in Romans, this struggle. Romans chapter 7. "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul points again to the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and he talks about those fruits of the Spirit. Now, as I think about the fruits of the Spirit, I think about a tree that I used to sell at the garden center. It was a rather interesting tree, and it was called a fruit salad tree. Has anybody ever seen a fruit salad tree? Have any idea what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. fruit salad tree is not something you find that often, but it is real. I'm not making this up. A fruit salad tree is a tree that has four different types of fruit on the same tree. Apricots, plums, pears, peaches on the same tree. Now, how is this possible, you ask? Multi-grafting. So you start with a rootstock, and then different fruits are grafted on to this particular tree. And so you have four different types of succulent, sweet, and tasty fruit on the same tree at the same time. Kind of like the bizarre picture that I had for the children's messages, which had a watermelon and a banana and an apple, all these different fruits on the same tree. Well, that's kind of a neat picture, though, when we think about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all these different fruits on the same tree. It reminds me also of a painting that I saw, a really neat painting. In this painting, there was a tree, and in the branches were the different fruits of the Spirit stylized so that the words were in the shapes of different fruits. Love, joy, peace. It's a really neat painting. And all these fruits are the fruits of the Spirit that are produced in you and me as we are in Christ Jesus. Now, what is the key of this producing of fruit? Is it from our own efforts? No. Because in our own efforts, we would be like a tree that is in barren soil. But you see, we are not in barren soil. For you and I are in Christ Jesus. In the painting that I just described, in the branches, there were different fruits stylized with the different words. Now, if you look then down, as you go down towards the trunk and it goes down towards the bottom of the painting, then what you see is in the roots and in the dirt, spelled out were two words. Two words. Any guesses on what those two words might be? Maybe you've seen the painting. In Christ. So here are the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But the roots are in Christ. And you see, that's the key. Apart from Christ, apart from faith, we have no fruits. But in Christ Jesus, as we are rooted in Him and His Word, then flow the fruits. You see, a fruit tree doesn't have to strain to produce fruit. There's this cartoon of a farmer, and he's staring there at this pear tree that's empty. It has no pears. Maybe you felt like doing this too. Start producing fruit! There's a sight for you. How well do you think that works, to yell at a fruit tree to produce fruit? It doesn't work, does it? You may have tried it just out of desperation. Stupid blueberry plants start putting on blueberries. Whatever. A fruit tree does not strain to produce fruit, but a fruit tree produces fruit as it is nourished in the soil of God's Word, as it is in Christ Jesus. There are times when we can get really, really impatient and frustrated with ourselves and with other people as we look at ourselves or that other person and we don't see much fruit. And what we want to do is yell at them, produce fruit, or ourselves. You can start getting down on yourself and getting really upset. How well is that working for you? Not so well. Now, what we're experiencing is that realization that in and of ourselves we cannot produce fruit, that other person apart from Jesus working in their life cannot produce fruit. We've come to that realization, but yelling at them is not going to produce fruit. But rather, those of you that have worked with fruit trees, with plants, realize that as the soil is nourished and there are nutrients given, as the plant is rooted, then we have the fruit that comes forth. In a similar analogy, John, in the book of John, we hear that Jesus says these words about himself. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Psalm chapter 1 verse 3 says, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." I've been really into cartoons in this sermon, as you've probably guessed by now. It's kind of a theme today. But there's another cartoon that I saw that I really want to share with you. It's a cartoon set in an office. And in this office are two guys that are standing around talking. One guy's, you know, he's got his coffee. And they're looking over at someone sitting at a desk. And it's a really weird cartoon because sitting at the desk is a tree. Sitting at the desk, his name is Macintosh. He's an apple tree. Macintosh is sitting at the desk, and this tree has this tie and this little white collar and this tie on him. He's sitting at the desk working on stuff. And maybe he's got a coffee mug on his desk, and Macintosh is doing his work well. So the two guys are talking. Well, the one guy says, if you really want to know something about God, or if you need someone to pray for you, you should ask Macintosh over there. He's got the good fruit. And the guy looks over at the table and he sees Macintosh there with the fruits of the Spirit in the branches as he's there at the desk. It's a really bizarre picture, but perhaps it's a fitting picture for you and for me in our various vocations. Whether that is at the office, doing the projects that we are called to do, or at home, changing the diapers, whether it's at school, at a job, working with the grandkids, we are trees that bear fruit. When people look at you and me, what do they see? What kind of fruits do they see? I pray that as the Spirit continues to work in our hearts and lives, and as we are rooted in Christ Jesus, in His Word, as we receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus, as we read His Word in devotions, and we become more and more rooted in Christ, that we would produce the fruit of the Spirit, which is a blessing, tasty, sweet, and wonderful, not only for the body of Christ, but also for a world that is hungry for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a good time of year for producing fruit, isn't it? Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith, rooted in Christ Jesus, until life everlasting. Amen.